Those who like to collect these items, I understand there's a world for that too. People who find these time capsules, I guess you'd call them, they're very desirable. The stamps and the saver books are collector's items.
They are, and it's a shame I didn't keep any of them. I don't have any, but yeah, they are becoming collector's items, and they're hard to find. And the signs, you know, there's nice signs that you see around, they're getting to be collector's items.
So then you started doing business in Tokyo.
Yes.
And what was that?
When we were at our busiest, a company in Tokyo started a stamp company. And they came to us and wanted us to print stamps. Well, it was such small quantities at that time, I just couldn't do it effectively. And we had more business than we could handle almost anyway, so I told them that I couldn't do it. But I got to know the owner of that company pretty well. He was a pilot, and we had some things in common. When stamp business slowed down here then, in about 73, I guess, I went to Tokyo and met with this gentleman and told him that we were now able to handle his volume, and his volume had increased too, and that I could do business with him now, and ended up selling him, and I printed all of his trading stamps. But he had kind of the same problem that S&H had in the beginning. He was thinking in the back of his mind, what would happen if the stamp industry picks up in the United States again and he gets too busy? You know, it'd be easier to sell them in the States than to send them clear over to me. So he started trying to buy our company, which was not for sale. As time went on, he kept doing it and kept talking to me about it. And eventually he got to the point where he offered a lot of money for it. And I went to the owners of our company and told them that I thought we could do this and got them together. And they did sell it to him. So they ended up buying the company. We continued to print for all the rest of the stamp companies, but we added his in there.
And you printed here?
Yes, we printed here and shipped to Tokyo.
To Tokyo.
Uh-huh. Which was kind of a different challenge. You know, they were made to re-moisten. I mean, you lick them and they'd stick. Well, if they got wet, they were going to stick. Well, I'd sent a bunch over to Japan, and they called me and said, your stamps are sticky, and I can't get them off and put them in the dispensing machines. And I said, well, it's humid over there, but it's humid in Houston, and I don't have that problem, you know. And I said, there's something going on. So I got on the airplane, went over there, and I said, show me some of those stamps that are sticking. Well, he picked up a roll 6 inches around. He picked it up with his hand and handed it to me. When he did, I saw somebody had done that before, and I could see their fingerprints around. If you think about it, they sell fish more than anything else there, where they're handling that fish, and then they get that reel, and they go, well, their hands have got all that water on them, and they wet the stamps. I told them, well, I think we can fix that. I film-wrapped all the coils after that so that they'd have to unwrap the film to put them in. That solved their problem for them. But they thought my glue was bad.
Lots of challenges that you had to think. Maybe you can't do it, but you overcame them. What was it like doing business with a Japanese businessman?
It was totally different than doing business with American. I was in charge of the plant in Sand Springs. The president of a company in the United States, if he sees something needs done, basically he does it, with the exception of major capital expenditures and things like that. Then you talk to your board, but they expect you to get things done. In Japan, you don't do anything till you've had a committee meeting. I've had, as a matter of fact, 3 or 4 or 5 committee meetings. They want to know everything there is to know about. You cannot imagine the questions they can ask you. So it took forever to do it. Eventually what happened is after the Japanese bought this company, they had me hire a manager to run the plant, and they asked me to be in charge of all their overseas operations. We started another company called Gamelan Corporation to handle their overseas business. Anyway, what I was about to tell you is they just have to have meeting after meeting. Well, part of my job was to invest their reserve account so that we could make enough money to keep up with inflation, at least when we redeemed the stamps. Well, when I'd find a good property purchase or a good investment opportunity here, I'd have to take it back and go through their board. And their board would listen and then want to talk, and then they'd send me home, and then I'd come back. Sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 trips before they decided whether to do it. Well, by the time they decided, the opportunity's gone. So I talked to the owner of Blue Chip one time. His name's Takashi Gamwa. I called him Tack. I said, Tack, this is just not working. By the time I get approval to do anything, it's just gone. He says, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. You and I will discuss it, and if we decide this thing to do, we'll do it, and then we'll run it through the board. And that's how we operated after that. But you can imagine what the board thought of that. They didn't appreciate that at all. So had a little bit of conflict there.
He bought the company.
Yeah, and it lasted until 97. He passed away in 97, and I resigned in 97, same year.